Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Throughout the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'll now turn the meeting over to Mr. Pradeep Nair. Mr. Nair, you may begin.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. What we will do today is talk about a new product that we have just released last month. It's called Maximo Every Place. Let's go to the next slide. So between myself and Laurie, we'll go through the product overview details and some of the sales positioning discussions. All right, next slide. Next slide. Thank you. So Maximo Every Place is a toolkit that we are providing that will allow customers and end users to configure the screens that they have, the Maximo desktop screens, to work on different size screens and layouts, as well as provide additional controls. So basically what it is an app designer that has additional functionality that once you turn it on will allow you to configure screens for tablets, iPhones, and as we go on will provide support for other mobile devices. Right, next slide. So what this is, it is actually an extension of the desktop UI. So if you are familiar with Maximo Desktop UI, you know you can run it on laptop whether it's connected or wireless. What this is doing is it is taking the same concept but allowing you to run on multiple devices, different screen sizes, and so on. And it allows you to easily design those screens. So it is not a replacement for Maximo Mobile. For some customers, you know, it might make sense if they just want to use the desktop type of capability on other devices. But Maximo Every Place is not doesn't have an offline capability. So if you think about how Maximo Mobile or other third-party mobile products like Cyclo works, you can download work orders, you can go into your work whether you're connected or not. And update those work orders locally on the device and then come back to where you have connection and then sync up. Maximo Every Place doesn't do any of that. It's basically just like your desktop functionality today. You can access a work order on the device. You can look at it. And if you're connected, you can do your work and continue updating. But you cannot just take that work order or the query that you ran that has downloaded, you know, captured five work orders and so on, and then go offline and try to do work on those five work orders. So that's a big difference. A lot of times this is the major confusion out there. So we want to avoid any expectation of that every place is a replacement or can do something very similar to mobile. So Maximo Mobile can be disconnected or connected, while Every Place is just a connected-only solution. The next bullet, the next major bullet down there is that Maximo Every Place today is released as a PRPQ. So it is a control release. The reason for it being a control release is we are just coming out with this product with a very limited set of support for it, meaning it supports iPhone and iTouch for the mobile devices. It is English only. It is for Maximo 7115. Nothing else today. When we GA this product later next year, it will have additional mobile support, device support, and additional languages. So we want to avoid any positioning where we have requests for a Chinese language or something else where we know that it's not the focus of this initial release. And we'll go. I'll go to towards the end of the presentation more about how we position this and how PRPQ is sold. Next slide, please. So if you look at the mobile products that we have at a glance, you'll see that Maximo EveryPlace, while it can be considered as a mobile solution, it is a connected offering, and it has basically an extension to desktop. That's how you should look at it. Maximo Mobile and Cyclo Smart has additional features for offline support, and you know, Cyclo Smart has the capability for building local apps on the device. Maximo EveryPlace, on the other hand, is the desktop UI that whatever you can do on the desktop UI is what you can do for other devices, configuration and so on. So there is a difference there. So it is not an application for mashing up data sources from different systems. If you do it on the desktop, that's fine, but if you haven't done it on the desktop, don't expect Maximo EveryPlace to do something very similar like bringing SAP data and so on. All right, I'll go into additional details later. What I'll do now is I'll turn the call over to Laurie Landsman. She's the product architect, designer for EveryPlace, and she'll go into the details of Maximo EveryPlace. Laurie?
Great. Thank you, Praneet. So what I'm going to do is tell you a little bit more about the details of Maximo EveryPlace, show you some screens, and give you a demo so that you have a sense of what this product actually is and what it can do, and then Pradeep will come back in and give you some more information. So as Pradeep was saying, Maximo EveryPlace provides access to this exact same Maximo that you use at your desktop, but with expanded browser support, specifically support for the mobile Safari browser, which works on the iPhone and the iPod Touch. What we've changed within Maximo is the application designer to give you the extra functionality to design screens specifically for the iPhone and the iPod Touch, or in fact any size screen that you want, and made it easier to interact with Maximo on those smaller screens by giving some alternate controls. And why are we doing this? Because we find that people, a lot of end users, have tasks that they want to perform within Maximo when they're not at their desk, and it's just shortened or abbreviated interactions with Maximo, the same kinds of things they would do at the desktop, but just really fast and quick things like, for instance, changing status. And they want to be able to do that quickly and easily when they're not at their desk, but using the same Maximo that they access all the time, have that, whatever they do, immediately reflected in the database without having to sync up later. And, of course, they also want the what you see is what you get configuration capabilities of the application designer so that they can take whatever exists in Maximo right now and put what they need specifically into an application that's available on their iPhone or iPod Touch. And we focus on those devices because they are very inexpensive. It's not a big investment for someone to purchase those particular devices. So on the next slide, I'm talking about whether it works on a BlackBerry, which is a big question that a lot of people are asking. And for now, the answer is no. Again, we're only supporting the mobile Safari browser, although we do intend to expand to other browsers. But what we've found in testing this is that not all mobile browsers are at the same place in terms of their capabilities right now and basically in their ability to run Maximo. And currently, the BlackBerry browser does not run Maximo in a usable way. Mobile Safari does, and in fact, mobile browsers that run the WebKit engine, and Mobile Safari is one of those, seem to be the most robust ones right now. Those are our intended targets going forward, but we're going to continue testing on other browsers, mobile IE, BlackBerry, and as soon as we can support those, we will. But for now, it's just Mobile Safari, just for iPhone and iPod Touch. In addition, of course, to the browsers that we already support with Maximo. So that gets us to the system requirements. So I'm on the slide called Details and Requirements for Maximo EveryPlace. So the PRPQ of Maximo EveryPlace is currently available. It became available at the end of September. As Priti mentioned, it's English only. That's because the development team is supporting this. It requires the customer to be at Maximo Fixed Pack Level 7115. And aside from that, the normal system requirements are in place. The normal browsers are supported. So any device that would run a browser that we currently support, this will work on. And there are mobile-type devices. What, you know, you could talk about a laptop or something like a Panasonic Toughbook that run, for instance, IE 6 or 7, which we currently support, and Maximo EveryPlace will work with those, as well as the iPhone and iPod Touch. Internet connectivity is required to use Maximo EveryPlace, but there is nothing to install on the devices since it's all browser-based, but there is no disconnected support. And the slide, what's included and not included, again, application designer functionality is really what we're focusing on here to help people design applications that will work well on their mobile devices. And so part of that is providing the proper controls and the proper look to allow interacting with a small screen, a touch screen. We want that to be as easy and as usable as possible. So that's what we focused on. There's not a set of applications that goes with Maximo EveryPlace because we think it will be more of a customer's choice to decide what's the appropriate functionality for their users who are using Maximo EveryPlace and to create the apps for that. And I'll walk through the kind of use cases we're thinking about here. But as Pradeep mentioned, all the functionality of 7115 is available to put into an app that you could use on your iPhone or iPod Touch. And I'm going to be walking through some information here that you may want to access later. When I go to my demo, if you'd like to see that again, if that's something you want to share with other people, I've done three-minute videos that go through the demos. Those are available. Sarah has posted them as part of the extra stuff that goes along with this Tivoli talk. It's also available on my GSA site. There are the guides, the user guide and the app developer guide, as well as the install guide that ship with this product, so there's a link to that. And we're working on VMs for EveryPlace, not available yet, but hopefully very soon. So let me tell you about what you see when you're using Maximo and you have Maximo EveryPlace and why we think there's a need for this. So first of all, this is the current Maximo. You're very familiar with this. It's fine when you're sitting at a desktop and have either a laptop monitor or a separate monitor to look at. But if you have a very small screen, just even the Start Center has too much information to make using that screen easy. You would have to scroll around too much. You would lose your place. The elements are too little to click on. Similarly, I'm looking at a screen here from work order tracking. And there's a lot of information here, even for a desktop monitor, frankly, but certainly if I were using my iPhone to look at this, it would be overwhelming to me. I would lose my place. I wouldn't be able to figure out where I am. And trying to click on those tiny elements like the select value icons at the end of a field, it's just too hard to do. So these are the kinds of things we wanted to make easier for people when they're using an iPhone. So now when I look at a screen in the application designer, I could start rearranging the screen, but it's, again, the elements aren't the right sized elements to interact with, and I wouldn't know exactly how much screen real estate I have to work with. The application designer, as it exists right now, assumes that you're designing for a full-size screen, a 1024 by 768 resolution, and that's not appropriate if you're designing something for an iPhone. So what you see here on this slide called Application Designer Create Mobile Applications is what we were aiming for, is a way to show in the application designer how much real estate you would have available on the iPhone so that you could really design specifically for that device and feel confident that what you were designing would look good and work well on that device. So what we've done and what you'll see in every place when I walk through the demo are a few new elements. The first is this ability to choose a viewport. The viewport is the red box that you see on the screen. It appears within the application designer and shows you the amount of real estate that's available to you depending on the device you've selected. So when you buy every place, it comes loaded with three viewport sizes in that little drop-down menu. There's the default one, which is our normal desktop resolution, which is approximately 1024 by 768, a little different. And then there are two iPhone settings, one for regular iPhone, which would be held vertically or in portrait mode, and the other is iPhone wide, which is when you're holding it horizontally or in landscape mode. So depending on which of those you choose, the red box resizes, and you can see how much real estate is available. There's also the ability to add in other viewport sizes if you wanted to, if you're just designing for either a different size screen or you just want a different amount of real estate available to you, that's all easily configurable via the domains application. The other thing that we've added is this little checkbox at the top here called Is Mobile. And what this does is it switches out the look of Maximo and changes out some of the screen elements. It makes them, for the most part, bigger because obviously when you're on an iPhone, you have to click on things with your finger, and that requires more real estate basically to click on in order to really click what you intend to click and not make an error. It's not like having that little mouse pointer, which gives you a very fine level of control. So we've got bigger elements. You can see the tabs are larger. The buttons actually have rectangles or squares around them so you can see what actually is clickable and how much real estate is available to you. And so when you're using that viewport and the Is Mobile, that can really help you design applications specifically for use on an iPhone, but it doesn't limit you to using those applications only on an iPhone. So in this case, what I'm showing on the slide that's titled Use the New Application on Any Device is an application that I created using the iPhone wide viewport and using the mobile skin or look, but I'm seeing it on a desktop screen. And so what's nice is these applications are accessible however the user accesses Maximo, and they can use the same application from multiple devices but have it optimized for the device they use most. This applies to the Start Center as well as the application. So this is how the Start Center would look, and this is how a particular work order application would look. And this is all kind of fun, but it's more fun when you see a live demo. So I'm going to switch out quickly to Maximo. And I'll give it a second to refresh here. So I'm logging into regular Maximo. So for the moment, you won't see anything different. So again, you're seeing the regular Start Center. But what I want to show you is what an admin would see or kind of go through in order to create an application for use on an iPhone or an iPod Touch. So I'm going to go to the application designer. And let's say that I have a user or a group of users who want to use the Assets application from their iPhone. So let's look at the Assets application. The thought is that you would start out with an existing Maximo application, clone it, and make that clone the way that you want it to be for an iPhone. So in this case, I started out with the Assets application. I've already created a clone of it, but I haven't done anything else to it. So you're looking at the regular Assets application. You can see that by default I have this red box here, and that corresponds to my default viewport size, which is 1041 by 600. That's the typical Maximo application screen size. But I know I want to make this into an iPhone-appropriate application. So I'm going to switch. I've got my two iPhone possibilities here. I'm going to choose iPhone wide just because that tends to be the one I like most. And you can see the box resized, and now I can see exactly how much real estate is available to me on the iPhone. But, again, these are the old, or not old, the classic Maximo UI elements, and that's not appropriate for the iPhone. So I'm going to click this Is Mobile checkbox. But keep your eye on the screen, and you'll see that all of those elements have switched out and resized, so they're bigger, again, easier to click when I'm using that touch screen. But the bad part about this is that not everything fits within that red box. That may seem like a bad thing, but it's actually entirely okay because I wouldn't want to use the entire Assets application from my iPhone. There's only a small subset of functionality that's going to be appropriate for use when I'm running around. So the first thing I'm going to do is start just highlighting elements on the screen and getting rid of them because they're not necessary. And so, and this is nothing new. This is exactly the same way the application designer currently works. It allows you to get rid of stuff you don't want, add things that are useful to you, move things around on the screen. And the intention is that when you're creating these mobile applications, you're going to be getting rid of a lot of stuff. Because, again, it's just for people who are running around who have very specific tasks to perform. So I would go through this exercise of tearing down an application. I should also point out that even though I'm starting with an existing application here, you don't have to do that. Just like the way you would normally use the application designer, you can create an application from scratch, and the viewport and the mobile look are still completely available to you. So that's another way of doing this, is to start from scratch and create a new application. All the same functionality is available. So now this is what I've gone through to create my mobile application. The next thing would be to go through the normal security process of having a security group to which I give my application access. We ship a security group out of the box called EveryPlace just to get people up and running. And there's a start center that's associated with that security group. So I want to show you that briefly. So you'll see when I'm a member of that EveryPlace group, I have this new tab called EveryPlace, which is a special start center tab. It by default has a favorite applications portlet in it, and we put that portlet in there by default because we want users who are going to be using applications from an iPhone or an iPod Touch to have links to those applications available in their Start Center. What you'll see is that the go-to menu is not available from the iPhone or the iPod Touch in order to conserve real estate, and because it doesn't make sense to access a zillion applications from an iPhone. So that's one difference, but otherwise all the portlets are available. It can be configured for use on the iPhone. What needs to happen is that in this display settings box, that EveryPlace or whichever Start Center tab you designate as your mobile Start Center has to be indicated as the mobile Start Center. And the reason to do that, I will show you, is when you log in from your iPhone, you will only see that Start Center that you've designated. Now, when I'm sitting at my desktop, I may want to have that experience of what is my mobile experience like? What will it be like when I log in from the iPhone? And you can do that. We've added this link called Mobile Login right here on the login screen. When I click on that, I get the login screen that I would typically get or that I would get by default if I were on my iPhone, so I can log in from that. And so this is what I would see on the iPhone. Again, there's no other Start Centers here. Just the one that I've designated as my mobile Start Center is the one that shows up. You can see the layout is slightly different. There's a shorter banner on top to not take up so much real estate. But the other portlets are available. I can still use them. I can go directly to my applications, or I can interact with a result set. In this case, I'm showing a graph. I can click on a bar in the graph, and then I go to my mobile app that I had configured previously. Just so you know, there are two sample apps that that ship with every place, they're not meant to be fully functioning applications. They're more design examples, and this is one of them. It's a clone of work orders that's been scaled back pretty significantly, but it shows how you can design an application specifically for use on the iPhone, and you can get a sense of the different kinds of screen elements we've used, like a much bigger calendar to interact with. You can see the toolbar looks a little bit different, but all the elements are still there, and someone can still interact with them. So that gives you a sense from the desktop. The other thing I wanted to give you a sense of is what this actually looks like on an iPhone. So what I have here is a little video. It'll take a second to launch. And again, these videos are all available if you want to go back and look at them later. But so this video was done on an iPhone emulator, so on a Macintosh machine, and it shows you what interacting with Maximo Everyplace on an iPhone is like. So I'll give this a second to load up, and I will show you. Hopefully the video is showing. And so if I hit play here, so again, by default on my iPhone, I get this special login screen, the mobile login screen. And when I log in from this, what happens is that I'll go directly to the mobile start center. So this is what you saw a moment ago, but specifically how it looks on the iPhone. And again, I'm seeing that favorite applications portlet. I'm seeing, in this case, my results set portlet, and I can interact with those, either go directly to an application or click on a bar in the graph to get to a particular set of records. It takes me to my app. Again, it's just Maximo, but with a slightly different look, bigger buttons. I've had to do the work of configuring it so that the right fields are showing, or the fields that I want and that fit on the screen. But same elements, same tabs are available, and I'll click on a particular record here. When I do that, so again, this is the usual kinds of Maximo fields in here. In this case, I'm scrolling around on screen. You'll see that calendar element again and the way it comes up when you're actually on the iPhone, so I can choose a particular date or time. You also see that the screen grays out slightly every time I click on something, and that's just to give the user an indication that something is happening and they shouldn't keep clicking on the screen. So it's an extra indication that something's going on. The dialogues all work the same way, and again, the dialogues are configurable through App Designer using the viewport, just like all the other screen elements are, typical kind of application designer interaction. And we've tried to make interacting on the iPhone as iPhone natural as possible, so like drop-down menus take advantage of the iPhone's little spinner control. So it's a nice interaction for you know, doing a touchscreen, and gives you, you know, access to all the same stuff that you're used to. So that gives you a sense of what Maximo Everyplace is and how someone would interact with it. And with that, I'm going to throw it back to Pradeep to tell you more about how to actually sell this.
All right. Thank you, Laurie. So let's go through a bit of the how it's packaged and how the order processing is and so on. Because what we are finding out is PRPQ is not a common ordering that most of the sales folks do, and also briefly touch on what we're doing for business partners as well. It's still a work in progress, and I'll give you a quick update. Next slide, Laurie. So as we have been mentioning quite a bit here, it is a iListed PRPQ, I listed basically says it's limited control release, so we don't broadcast the announcement. And basically when you try to get the order through, it requires approval. It comes to one of us, Pradeep, myself, Ken, Don, and Laurie. It is available on a system, ordering system in IBM called AAS. So it's not a typical PA or FCT part that you will see. And I'll go through more on the AAS in a bit in the next slide. Just a few other information that a number of you have asked us to mention in these calls. So the PID is 5799 MIA. You can see that. And the OTC feature, and this is something that the AAS person would know how to enter when they are ordering the part. Right, next slide. All right, so this process, because it's in the AAS system, there are a number of things that you need to do. Number one is when you're trying to create a code, you have to go to the RPQ system. There's the notes database link there, and you can search for that part number, a reference number, P04823, or just type in Maximo, and you'll find two PRPQs there, Maximo Everyplace and Maximo Scheduler, which is actually no longer there because it has graduated to GA. So Maximo Everyplace is there. You can create a code there, and that's the code that you send out to your customers. And once it's okay and you want to enter the code into the system, you basically need to go through an IBM COM rep. And I was told that each of you, this is the IBM sellers, would know who your rep is. They would enter this order into the AAS system. If you're doing any special bids or any discounting, that should happen at the quotation step. So the AAS order entry is just someone entering the order for you. And when they enter the order into the system, it will automatically route to one of us, and we will approve it accordingly. And we will send out a statement of work for the support. As Laurie mentioned, PRPQ, because it's limited and control, the support is coming from development. Basically, the customer cannot call our 1-800 support and get support to answer any of the Everyplace questions. There is a specific path to call support, which is basically our developers, such as Laurie and her team. There is no charge for the support. It is until GA we will provide the support. And once the product is GA'd, they all have to move to the GA product. We are looking into the business processes for the business partner. We are finding out that having access to the AAS system is going to be a little bit problematic for the software business partners. Apparently, AAS are set up for more for hardware and those business partners selling both hardware and software. But business partners not selling the software typically don't have any terms defined for accessing the AAS system. Besides that, we also need to come up with the appropriate terms and conditions for each of the partners, which we are working with Rick and his team. Next slide. Now let's go through the licensing. I did cover the support part earlier, so let's go through the licensing. I think once you understand it, it's pretty easy to follow. As you saw from the demo and what the functionality is, it's basically an enhancement to the app designer. So basically, when someone wants the functionality and they want to run this for different devices or tablets or netbooks or so on, we actually send a new app designer that has this additional functionality. Once they have this, they can configure the app designer for any number of users. So the way we decided to license this is to, it's a per-user license, but we will charge for everyone in the system, all the authorized and secondary user in the system. Because once you have it, everyone have access, it's hard to monitor or audit the process once they have the app. Now, having said that, we have kept the price low enough because it's just an enhancement. The list price is only around $400 per user, and then you have your discretion there on how you price it. So the way to look at it is we are providing this functionality and we are providing it as an uplift for everyone that's using it. And we're only focusing on the authorized and secondary users. Now, if there are cases or situations where you need the customer needs to test it out or roll it out on a limited fashion, for example, a pilot or so on, you know, we have worked on that as well. We can do that. The thing to keep in mind is the way this is defined, every time the audit police comes in, they are going to say it is for everyone. So we can start off on a small pilot. At some point, they have to understand it's an uplift for everyone. So example is if you have 100 authorized users and 300 limited, you basically have 400 users. So when you sell the EveryPlace license, it's basically 400 times whatever the price is. And finally, the support policy, as mentioned earlier, development provides the support. It doesn't go through regular support. It's, I think, a better way to support this product as we introduce this, as you have the developers providing full support for this. What we found out is sometimes customers don't like to have an SOW-based support, so you need to position this up front. We don't want this to be an issue at a later stage when you're trying to put the order in and we give you the SOW, with a statement of work, and you find the customers go, well, no, this is not, it sounds like it's a services solution, and we don't want to get to that point. Make it clear up front, there is a roadmap, there's a GA plan, and until then, it's support through development. They'll get a better support experience. So it's good overall. Next slide. Quickly, key differentiators. It is basically extending Maximo applications to different devices, mobile devices. The goal is to get to as many devices as we can support. So BlackBerry is definitely top on the list after iPhone and the Apple products. And we're also looking into Windows Mobile. I know development had tried it on some Nokia devices. It's promising there as well. Next few bullets talks about the advantages. Basically, if you look at this, there is really nothing additional to this, right? You're replacing the app designer with this new app designer. And that's it. You don't have anything on the device to install. It's just leveraging the browser that's already there. So it improves the management part of the devices. If you lose the device, you lose nothing. There's no security issue there. On the server side, once you're trained or the end user are trained, all business partners are trained on app designers features, they can configure this for any of the devices as well, so it's nothing new to learn. next bullet talks about browser base. So we say this is connected. The advantage is if you are connected, you know, you can get real-time updates. If a work order was sent to you, you can see it immediately and so on. So this is basically the overall benefits of having all-the-time connection or real-time connection. And these type of devices help you with that. You don't have to carry a laptop, log in, see if anything new, and so on. Basically consolidate the devices that you're carrying. The next thing is the look and feel. This, for the end users, it really simplifies their life because you're basically using the same UI across the desktop, mobile, and so on. Next slide. So value proposition, key points are you basically install nothing on the client. It's the same configuration. You have a, you know, the WYSIWYG configuration tool, the app designer, to configure not only the desktop screen, you can now configure the mobile screens as well. You can access any Maximo functionality from the device. And it basically, you're leveraging the Maximo's embedded security and controls. You don't have to worry about another system making sure the users are secured in both systems. They have the same access level. So in some industries, that's critical. We keep hearing about that, and they like the idea of less administration, and every place does that. The only thing is it has to be connected, right? There's no storage on the local device. I'm not going to go through mobile and smart at this point. It's for you for reference. Next slide. So the value is we have looked at competition. We have looked at, you know, the Oracles and SAP. So this is definitely a differentiator, right? If you position this or even show it for 5 minutes, I think it will give another point saying that, you know, there is another feature that Maximo has that these guys don't have, or they have third party. They won't show it as well as we are going to show it, basically. You can say you can access Maximo from an iPhone, you know, so on. It makes the conversation easier. The other two factors are, you know, we were trying to get everyone to upgrade. This is another thing to get them to upgrade to 7. And for sellers and business partners, you basically can go back and sell those to the Maximo 7 install base. So you definitely need to use this as a positioning, competitive positioning or differentiator to get people to just sign off and buy the product, basically. Next slide. This is a quick process, a decision process. You're going to see this from all of our mobile deck. We want to be clear in our positioning across our mobile offerings. So we have the Smart from Cyclo. We have our own mobile solution, and we have Maximo EveryPlace. You can see Maximo EveryPlace at the bottom there. It is Maximo 7, always connected. Then you look into Maximo EveryPlace if it makes sense. If they are always connected and they want to have this EveryPlace, that's the way to go. That's when you don't offer mobile or smart, basically. If they are not on 7, then EveryPlace is not an option. If they want to be an offline or there is any possibility that the end users will be disconnected, a Maximo EveryPlace is not the solution for them. You need to be very clear on that. Be upfront. We don't want any situation where the customer thought, oh, maybe there's a cache, maybe we work offline for few records. There's no such thing there for every place. Next slide. So in summary, so when you're connected, and when you're on Maximo 7, when the customer, that is, make sure you offer Maximo Replace as a possible solution. Sometimes they may be still, you know, have a traditional sense for mobile. They want to store, they want to be offline, sync records, go home maybe with the records and so on. So in that case, Maximo Mobile is smart as the solution. Okay, the other key point is EveryPlace is a PRPQ. It's all a learning process for those of you who haven't gone through a PRPQ process. Ordering, if you are doing it first time, make sure you have given enough time to go through the order process. Donna and others from sales have gone through this, and if you haven't done it, it is challenging because it's new system and new processes, so make sure you give yourself ample time. Business partners, we definitely will get back to you through Rick, through another session or another training on how to do this. At this point, most likely if you have a deal, we have to go through some form of special bid with our sales assisting at this point. And finally, the product support is through development through an SOW. I'll make sure the customer understands that. All right, I think that's it. We'll open up for questions at this point, if there are any. Right?
At this time, we are ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your line and record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. One moment, please. Your line is open.
Yes, that was very impressive. And the only question I have is there any chance that that application designer in some way, form, shape, or fashion is going to be ported over to our mobile offering as well?
That is a very good question. We are looking at various things. At this point, I would say development is looking into a number of options. Regarding the mobile, we know mobile needs a configuration tool. So if that's where you're leading to, it is the number one priority to get a configuration tool on mobile. Whether this will do it or some other form, we'll get there.
Thank you. That's great.
Okay. Our next question comes from Christina Pescatore. Your line is open.
Hello. You mentioned that this would go through the PRPQ order process, and I've never done that before. Who would you advise that I get in touch with to learn how to do that?
I think, in order to get some advice, maybe to sales, you can call myself at this point. This number of us from development who has gone through the PRPQ process, myself, Don Busick, I think Ken Rawlings and others would know it as well. But,
okay.
Yeah, so just give us a ping. There are some sales, depending on where you are, I'm pretty sure we can find the salesperson who have gone through a PRPQ and get you guys hooked up. I've listed some of the things on one of those slides. Basically, that's the process. The RPQ system. If you click on that link, the notes link, you will see what that is. if you know your IBM com rep, if you ask him or her about AAS, how you enter the system in AAS, I was told that they should know. And as from the few deals that we have gone through, yes, they do know. So I don't know about your rep, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ray Michuk. Your line is open.
Hey, Pradeep.
Hey.
I got a question for you. In your example, for instance, where you have 400 users at $400 a pop, that's $160,000, and they may be only deploying it across 20, 30, 40 users. And I realize the application can be affecting all users if need be. I guess the question is, if the customer was actually to design this themselves, because they could actually do it themselves based on what Lori said. They wouldn't have the security and some of the other prepackaged features. How long would it take them to create an app in the just the regular designer tool that can be ported out to an iTouch? Because that's what we're going to run into on a 400 licensed product. Really, there's only a certain amount of mobile people that will want access via the phone, and they're going to say $160,000, I'll spend $30,000 or $20,000 in consulting and do it ourselves.
Right, and that's where I think we need to figure out what's the best approach, right? And so number one, the app designer that's coming standard with Maximo wouldn't have these features that Laurie showed, right? So they cannot do this. They have the traditional app designers, and they'll spend quite a bit of time configuring this. And Laurie maybe can explain about the controls and so on. I don't believe those controls will be available in the generic app designer. Now,
right. Just to interject there, they're not going to have that look that makes it easier to interact with an application on an iPhone or an iPod Touch, and so they'll have to use existing Maximo controls, and that's not a happy experience.
Okay. I mean, in selling it, we'll have to have some happy medium where we say, look, if you were to do this, this is going to cost you $100,000 in consulting time, and it's not going to be upgradable, or it would be upgradable, but it won't be supported through... Well, I guess it would be support because it's using application design. I just want to make sure that I understand the benefits in case we get into a price discussion based on, where they're deploying it versus the cost we're charging. It's almost kind of the Optum case.
Right.
You know, as you get into the number of users, the higher number of users,
mm-hmm.
it starts to get price prohibitive.
Right, right. So I think this is where we need to, first of all, make sure that differentiation is clear, that if they try to do this with what they have, without the new app designer that they wouldn't get if they don't buy this, is that they won't get the controls, the touch controls and so on that's on for mobile. So they can, basically make the existing designer work, but it's going to basically do the same things that the desktop is doing on a mobile device. They'll spend some amount of consulting to do that, right? And the next thing is, okay, if you have the 400 users and you know for sure that they're not going to exceed, maybe 20 of them are going to use it, that's where we need to go into this, the pilot or some other stage where we define the set of users. Our price have been saying if we can define the set of users, like the remote service workers, which are this group, and we can, if we have to audit, we can go and count them. Those kind of things can be applied, but it will be a kind of a special bid in that case.
Okay. Well, that sounds like you're being flexible. What do you think general release is for this?
Getting some questions. Laurie, do we want to say sometime 2010 or later half 2010?
Yeah, we're looking at the second half of 2010. We don't have a specific date yet, but we want to have the general release within a year of the release of the PRPQ. So, you know, around hopefully Q3 2010, but we don't have a definite thing yet.
Okay, and how long did it take Scheduler to move from PRPQ to GA? Do you know?
I think it took 9 months from what I recall.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Pradeep and Laura. I appreciate it. We got a lot of interest there. We just have to work on the pricing.
That's great.
Yeah, and definitely don't hold back on that. You know, just bring us anything that you have, and you know, we'll make it work. Especially on the first few deals, anything that makes sense, we'll do it.
One last question: what happens to customers that have enterprise licenses? Because we know we have a few of those out there.
Right. So same thing, right? We need to figure out a number and then define it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Pradeep. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your line and record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. One moment, please. There are no other questions at this time.
All right. So let's wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Hopefully this will be generating more interest for everyone, and we'll have a quick GA and go from there. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.